Hello Suns fans and welcome to Shining Blight. We're back after a week off. I'm your host Kieran Turner and I'm joined by the one and only Malcolm Blight. Hello Malcolm.
Kieran, it's nice to see you back. Why did we have a week off in Grand Final week?
I think you were down in Melbourne, weren't you?
Why? What, we haven't radios or anything like that. We've got no phones. No way to contact each other these days. Stephen, hello. Hello, Stephen Wilson.
Hello, Malcolm. Hello, everyone. We hoped we would be able to find a way.
Yeah,
but
we did. Didn't we?
We struggled to find one. Apparently, Tuesday, you were no good after the Brownlow. Is that correct?
Oh, no. As you know, sort of being an ex-Brownlow medalist. No, I'm always a Brownlow medalist, aren't I? It's a bit like being President of the United States. Once you're President, aren't you? No, it was good result. Patrick Dangerfield. Now, I've got a thing about the Brownlow. Just, I thought you might mention that. Is that, oh, by the way, how did you go on your tipping on the grand final day? I tipped the Bulldogs by 22 points. Did anyone else get anywhere near that?
I did get the Brownlow trifecta, if we want to play that grab, but we won't do that just yet. But,
okay. Oh, we go. Oh, hello.
Can I just bring it something up? Kieran actually tweeted that the following morning. He's been spending too much time with you pumping his own tyres up. He's on him. Yes, Malcolm.
You've been around footy a long time. You're not a bad judge either. Now all the favourites in the medal get more votes than they probably should, because I watch most of those games. Not that the deserved winner, absolute champion, won it like he should. But I reckon the umpires now get a bit nervous just in case they miss a good player with a vote. So I had a look at the history of the game, and they've gone up in the last 10-15 years. Since the media intensity's gone up, there's no doubt those better players get more votes than they've ever got before.
Is that midfielders getting votes and not key position players that they might have in the past?
Yeah, I think they look at it and think, oh, hell, he's a good player, he's a great, so he must get the vote. Rather than look at the game and actually, I think so. Yeah, I think it's just changed slightly. Not badly, though, by the way.
Just back on that grand final, it was a cracking result, and well done to the Bulldogs. It's a fairy tale come true, I suppose.
Look, it is. I've been guilty. You know, they lost 7 or 8 premier finals, and I'd actually been with teams that have been guilty of beating them, so it was lovely to see it. I thought the Swans were disappointing, weren't they? I think Hanbury getting injured in that last quarter. Hey, listen, Stephen, you love stats. Kieran, you love stats, don't you? Listen to this. Grand final scores. For everyone out there listening, this is absolutely a piece of information that you're about to take home tonight, tell everyone about it, and they'll think you're a genius. Here we go. No one had ever won by 22 points before in the history of the world game of football, our game.
Grand final.
So 22 points for the first time ever. And what about this amazing stat? You know the 89 points that the Bulldogs kicked? It's the 8th time in a grand final that's been kicked, 89 points has been kicked. 8 times in a grand final. It's an amazing strike rate. 89, it's a strange number. Guess how many of those have won with that score?
One.
No. Kieran, do you want to have a guess?
Let's split it in the middle, go about 4.
He is a genius. Did you read my piece of paper?
I didn't read the paper. Just
would you believe it? That was the most number, 68 and 85 have been the score 7 times. So that became the 8th time, 89. Isn't that a marvellous piece of information for everyone out there? Tell your friends.
Do you enjoy the game? You were there?
I was. It was the last 15 minutes of a game. You know, some games you just get involved in. I'd have to say 99,981 people. Why didn't the AFL just go and grab another 19 people off the street and call it 100,000? What are they doing there? Promote the game. Anyhow, it was the loudest 15 minutes I've heard at a game of footy for ages and ages. It was sensational and well-deserved.
Highly viewed on TV as well. Some positive news on the Suns front. We've had a couple of re-signings this week with Tom Nichols and Jack Leslie inking their new contracts.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? I mean, you know, we get the headlines for the other boys going, but, you know, Tommy's, I thought, was a must. We needed to keep it ruckman, of course. And it's good for Jack Leslie. If you've seen him, you know, like 3 or 4 years ago, Stephen, as we all did, you know, he was a rough country boy, wasn't
he?
And
was.
A lovely, lovely family, another family. But he's worked his way up the ladder. He might have only played a handful of games, but he's starting to mature as a player, you know, that bigger type. He's only 200 centimetres.
Someone like him, and people wouldn't necessarily know this, so remote country Victoria,
yeah.
You play your under-18s footy, you could only travel to training once a week,
exactly.
Play on the weekend, compared to a local kid or someone in, you know, metropolitan area who's training nearly every night. So he's got a lot of work to pick up on since he's been here, and a bigger body too. That'll always take a bit longer, but he's slowly getting there, and his footy in the knee fall has been really good. And coming to made an impact at senior level a little bit as well. So
in that game against GWS, but unfortunately he got injured when he probably could have cemented his spot. So it'll be a big 2017 campaign for Jack, no doubt. Blighty, we've got some questions for you, as always.
Here we go.
Are you ready?
These are totally unannounced.
Hang on, and before we go on questions, yeah. Did anyone else ask any questions here recently, over the last week? Has anyone else been asking questions?
I can't think of any.
No, you haven't asked anyone any questions?
Not that I've...
Other than these ones to Blighty?
No, I've got them ready for Blighty now.
Sure, there's nothing you need to tell our listeners, Kieran, just while we're on questions?
No, I don't think there is.
Last Tuesday, didn't
pop
a question?
Oh,
I may have popped a question or two, maybe.
I heard a little thing called... a birdie told me that a little thing called diamonds have appeared.
There was.
Diamonds
there was,
in your eyes?
There was diamonds in my eyes and a little diamond on my girlfriend's
left hand. Oh, now.
Kieran.
Thank you,
welcome,
guys.
Son. Good on you.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations, emails to
your fiance's name?
Andrea. Andrea.
Andrea, if you're out there listening, congratulations, you got a goodie. Well, yeah, okay.
Thanks, Malcolm. I actually do need an MC for the wedding, so either of you two, if you're available.
Stephen's excellent at it. Oh, that's great news.
Thank you very much.
Why should you be happy? Now, come on, let's get going. I don't mean that, Andrea. I promise. It was
onto
a joke.
On to the questions. Everyone knows we need mids. What type of mids do you think we need, Malcolm? Is it the bigger body inside mids, Kennedy and Fife mould, or is it more the inside-outside with good running capacities since we're losing Jager and Dion?
Yeah, fascinating question. The answer is all of those, but I've always thought if you get a real good one, you fit them into the team. And I keep it simple as that. You know, when you look at a kid and you think, he's got all these qualities... If he's good, you fit him in. Doesn't matter if they're in, out, upside down, overhead. Doesn't matter. Like, just get a good player, you fit him.
Marcus Ashcroft was on Trade Week radio this morning and was speaking about mids, and that was the job description for us. So if you're a mid and you're available or potentially available, we want to talk to you, and that seems like what we're doing. So if,
yeah.
That's for all our fans out there.
I know, you know, Bontempelli, you know, all of a sudden's become the thing, and Josh Kennedy had a great grand final as well. But I just get a good one.
Mm. The next question. I'd like Blighty to know he was the reason I used to love watching the match of the day on Channel 7 in the late 70s, early 80s as a kid. To see him kick unbelievable goals and take speckies every week. He was the Buddy Franklin of his generation. What did Malcolm enjoy more, the big mark or big goal?
Whoa, what a sensational question.
We'll sit down for five
minutes.
Yeah,
just... Oh, look, that is... I must say, I probably... If there was one thing I did as a player, I never doubted that if I saw the ball in the air that I wouldn't go at it. And I probably thought, well, if I was 85 metres out, I may as well have a go at it. Look, I enjoyed them both. I think the actual thrill of marking, you know, when you took a bit of a hanger and then getting off the ground and kicking the goal, but to actually get the footy... is the hardest part in the game. So I'd actually say the marking. And, I didn't mind a jump.
I'd love to know Blighty's thoughts about how many academy players he'd like us to draft this year. Bose and Shearer are the obvious ones with Williams to follow, but I'm wondering if he's got any smokies for a rookie pick.
Look, the short answer to that is yes. The more we can get, the better, because that means they're probably coming living in Queensland. So that means we can promote and hopefully keep them home. So that's a tick. The other thing would be is that you never know on draft day until you get there what unfolds and what's left on your sheet of paper. Say you're the list manager or the recruiter and you've got 10 names there, you know, 100 names you got, but you got 10 with asterisks. So when you get down to that last play and you got 10 and an asterisk still there and he's better than the kid you thought you might get, you go for the asterisk. So you can never know until draft day.
Based on the 2016 finals teams, are there any trends you think clubs will adopt in 2017? Is there anything you can learn from Luke Beveridge's game plan?
I think the most pleasurable thing about the game, other than the competitiveness of it, was just enormous, was that the sideways kick went. They didn't actually chip it round backwards and forwards across the back line at all. Hardly ever, did they? So once they saw it out, they took off, and Johannesson was just bloody special, really. And he just took them on. You know, a bit like I saw Adam Saad in Johannesson's performance, you know, when Adam was going well for us.
Yep.
You know, that take him on and Cage Collar-Jasny. Jared Harbrand had a really good year.
Unpredictable.
Too, yeah. And all of a sudden you slice. And I reckon movement creates movement. So as soon as you see one of those blokes move, you're up the ground, you're gone. So I think that was the most exciting thing about the game.
And Suns have plenty of players that can actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
That, yeah. The modern coaching setup is multiple coaches with different roles and responsibilities, and the role of the head coach has changed over time. Does that mean some people that were excellent head coaches back in the 90s would be rubbish now and vice versa? Would a 45-year-old Blighty want to be a head coach in the modern game, and would he be any good?
I think you adapt to your time, I suppose most good ones do. But one of the things I find fascinating is that with the rotations now, and this is, I think I've said this before, but coaching on Saturday, what I call game day, is as hard as it's ever been. You know, in my day, you can actually see Kieran playing on Stephen, and it's causing problems, so I can do something about it. But now, if that happens, the rotation happens, and you're both gone. So, I mean, it's much harder, I reckon, in the box now. So having more eyes is probably better.
And just lastly, I've checked out some of the newer songs you mentioned on the podcast, but we would be interested in knowing what are some of your all-time favourite songs.
Oh, there was a song, Queen. It was the first anthem I've ever... It was called Bohemian Rhapsody, 1974-5 era, by Queen, which had that many layers to it. Before then, it was the Beatles and just bang, 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 and the songs were great. But Bohemian Rhapsody put this almost layered performance, bit of operatic, bit of beauty, bit of this, bit of that. So Queen were a favourite of mine, and I remember doing an article for the old Football Record in Melbourne, and there was a song out, Crazy Little Thing Called Love, and it was also a Queen song, which one of my favourites. I think it was 1978, the year I did win the Brownlow Medal, I think it was, round about then. But because it's a love day and, Kieran, you've been engaged, I think Crazy Little Thing is still a great little song for you.
And you have that playing in the cassette player back in the car?
Oh, I did indeed.
What car would you have been driving back then?
It would have been one with four wheels.
Okay. moving on from the questions, the trade period's obviously not far away, going into full swing. Plenty of midfielders mentioned, Hamish Hartlett, Pierce Hanley, Lin Jong, Michael Barlow. And as you spoke on before, Steve, that's probably the job description we're looking for.
Absolutely. Pretty obvious one, really, when you think of who's moving out. What it does say, too, is how strong that spine is, and we know that, so that's a real positive for us. But I think if you're a midfielder and you might be available come this trade period, then there's no doubt the Suns will have spoken to you or be speaking to you in the short term.
Absolutely right. And, getting a couple of those in would be fantastic. I think it would help our list, and I think it would bring injuries aside many, many more wins next year.
So, Blighty, for you, the balance, and that's been spoken about a bit by Marcus on radio today, the balance between early draft picks and mature talent. Have you got a thought on that?
Yeah, look, it's not an exact science, but you can't do it with all with kids. You can't do it all with kids. And even if you look at the Bulldogs team, I mean, they, you know, generally a younger list, but they had their five or six, you know, good players that been around forever, haven't they? Played a lot of footy. The other bloke I'm really interested, I don't know if you're going to get to this, Kieran, but Ty Vickery is an interesting one for me. Mm-hmm. There are Hawthorn, you know, three peats and just missed this year. So there they are going for another 26, 27-year-old, restricted free agent, whom us in the football world says, has Ty Vickery lived up to his performances? But then again, did David Hale, when he played for North Melbourne, live up to them? You know, so perhaps they've got this thing, if they can get him into Hawthorn as an older player, it's almost their last chance, so they actually grow a leg. And that can happen.
But that's where you've got to back your program too, because recruiting a player is one thing. No matter how old they are, you still develop them and make them a better player. So it's a flip side, isn't it?
Oh,
you never, whoever you pick and bring into the clubs, that's not them full stop.
No.
They've got improvement from there, or they should.
It should do, yeah.
And just on that draft versus experience discussion, how many picks would you be looking to take into this year's draft, do you think?
Depends on what you trade. Hmm. I mean, once again, how long's a piece of string, but you'd want to... I think you need to refresh your list every year. I mean, you do. And the rules are say you've got to get rid of three anyhow. You know, three must go. So somewhere between three and eight or nine is probably right. But you'd like to see three of those being good, experienced players. But that would be my mix. Mm. Put four or five kids in, but get those other three or four, maybe three or four older guys.
Something we're going to do over the next couple of weeks is look at the different lines the Suns have. So we'll start with the back line today. Blighty, how do you see the Suns' back line? Obviously, as Steve said before, the spine's really strong with the likes of May and Thompson, and there's plenty of good smalls there as well, but how do you see it as a whole?
Yeah, I would love to see Stephen and Rory play a season together. You know, when they came back in this year, after Stephen got suspended, you know, we had a good start to the year, then Stephen got suspended for those 5 weeks. That's fair enough. When him and Rory came back together, our performances went up enormously. You know, there were other reasons why as well, but if you can put those two and stop the two major players in the other end, the smaller blokes can feed off them. And I've always thought that if you look at nearly every great premiership team, there's always one key jet at the back. And, you know, we think Stephen's that, and Rory's able lieutenant. So we can mix and match around them, you know, with Harbs and Sardi, as I mentioned, and Kay Collegesny and the rest. There's heaps there. So I'm really comfortable, providing they stay on the ground.
Would you keep Jack Martin down there to add that little bit of
polish? No, see, that's where I think Jack now could actually go through the mid. Because he kicked goals early last year, didn't he?
He did.
So you'd like to see him go through the mid, half-forward mid stuff.
And you'd like to think Collegesny, he was probably disappointing last year. He wasn't right.
He was sick, wasn't he? Sick puppy.
He's a different player, probably the player we saw the year before. Saad, you'd think, will grow again. Joyce, who came in and played this year,
a little
upside of plenty there.
Yeah.
Probably the same as Willis. And then you've got Malcheski, McKenzie, Lemons. Lemons still got upside.
Yeah.
McKenzie, you know, when he's fit as well, I think he's sort of got himself right early, and then he was injured. So,
if we can keep them together, there's a fair bit of depth there.
Mm. Dave Swallow too coming back. He could be playing on half back line. Yeah. So, plenty of talent there. The blight of the week. Have you got something for us this week, Malcolm?
Oh, the blight of the week.
Yeah, or have you got something else for us?
No, I'm just going to say that engagement parties. I can give you a tip on engagement parties if you like.
We need a lot of advice.
Yeah.
I'm stepping back. The lovely missus will be looking after a lot of this stuff, so she's very good. Thank you, Andrew.
No, I'm sure there's lots of girls out there listening. I think that the most important thing you can do is on your engagement, just thank her for being her. That would be my tip of the week.
Okay. I'll take that one on board. I think that's all the time we've got for today.
Hang on, we can't let on that.
You've been down at Melbourne for grand final week. There's always plenty of stories. What have you got for us that happened grand final week that our listeners would be interested in?
I was trying to wrap it up there. I was sick of being the brunt of all the jokes.
No,
you're not.
But fans, please email your congratulations through to Kieran. We'd really appreciate that.
Yeah, look, can I say that on the day at halftime, you know, the Coterie group we've talked about, Team 22, which has been a great success of the club, and some fantastic business people giving their expertise back to the club, and anyone out there is ever interested in having a chat about that, we'd love to talk to you. But at half time, I went down with all the people, because they get grand final tickets as part of their deal, Stephen, which is quite nice for them. But I went down at half time after being a very official luncheon, of course, and I started talking to him, and Ted Whitten Jr. came up to me. So for all those great people from Victoria and football in general, the great man Ted Whitten, who passed away some years ago now, but Teddy Whitten came up and I had a chat to him at half time, and I'd seen during the week where he'd actually written, a story had been written about how proud Ted Sr. would have been, but just the look, even at half time, to be competitive in young Ted, who played 150 games for the Bulldogs, Footscray, and a great man, it was just great to be around all those Bulldog supporters where our Team 22 members were, and just see the look in his eyes. It was dancing eyes. It was. I would have loved to have caught up with him after the game. So the great Ted Whitten got a fair mention on grand final day, which is great for footy.
How did the Team 22 members feel about being there grand final day? And because whenever you're there and you're lucky enough to be there, you're a bit jealous because you want to be there yourself. Did you feel that from them?
Yeah, no, they were terrific. They got into the game and, you know, two points in at half time, and it was just exciting. And to have a little jar of refreshment with them was very nice at half time.
We'll reconvene next week during the trade period, but any last predictions that you see happening early in that week?
Oh, good question. Look, I think there's a few deals already done by the look of it, if you can read between the lines of everything. And usually someone on the day likes to be first in, don't they? So I think there'll be an announcement probably very early Monday to say, this is done. And we'll all go, wow, isn't that great? And then we'll procrastinate for the next 10 days.
You're probably right. Actually, there's a change this year. Previously, on the first day of the trade period, everyone's met with everyone and it goes around and you each meet with a club for a 15-minute period. This time, the AFL have worked out that the clubs have already all met with each other. So everyone's just going to land there at Etihad on the day and you meet with whoever you want to meet with. So with that being the case, it's probably more downtime that a deal could be done on day one, because previously you've just been occupied by meeting with everyone. So clearly list managers have been talking probably for at least 4 weeks. As soon as sides bow out of finals, they're in full swing. So there's been plenty of time, there's plenty to do, and plenty for the Suns to do, which is exciting because we've got some players moving, but we've got some picks to use. So an exciting time where you can actually change your list and have a bit of an impact heading into 17.
Well, if you looked 2 years ago at what the Bulldogs did to their list and see they got rid of some, not rid of, captains of the club, and look how quickly you can turn it around. So if we get 8 or 9 picks and some senior players, I mean, you can rise quickly up if we get it right.
Bit of luck on the injury front too, no doubt.
Yeah, sure.
It's always a fascinating time of year. We look forward to bringing you updates next week on Shining Blight. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Congratulations, Kieran.
Good on you, Kieran.
Thanks very much.